Hey, you're listening to Cut for Time, a podcast from Faith Church located on the north side of Indianapolis. My name is Claire Kingsley. Each week, I'll sit down with one of our preaching pastors to discuss their Sunday sermon. Cut for Time is a look behind the scenes of sermon preparation, and they'll share with us a few things that we didn't hear from the sermon on Sunday. Thanks for listening.
All right, Jeff. So thank you for taking this time to do our last installment of Cut for Time on Lamentations. So Joey and I, you know, made sure we were on the same page that we will not be having an Easter Cut for Time. We're going to take that week off before we get back into the book of Acts. And so this is our last time to kind of cover and tie up some loose ends in the book of Lamentations, if that's even possible. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But before we do, why don't you give us a sermon summary?
Yeah, well, we got to this fifth and final chapter of Lamentations, which is the first time that the suffering people of Jerusalem themselves actually find a voice to cry out. And we talked about how important it is for us to be able to do that. It may take a lot of time. It may take people sort of stepping into that space with us, as we've seen the narrator do, to voice the complaint on our behalf, and knowing that we have people around us who will actually listen and care about our grief, but we have to give voice to it. And that's part of what we talked about. And the reason we turn to the Lord with that lament is because he's the only one that can ultimately heal us. And so we looked through the text itself in terms of naming our laments, turning to God with those laments and trusting to him to ultimately find our life. And also coming to him, we see that even the end of the story is a little unresolved. We even come to him with our doubts and our worries and fears and second guessing of ourselves. And we talked a little bit about looking ahead to what we're going to be remembering on Good Friday and then the ultimate resolution and victory of Easter that we're looking forward to this weekend.
Is there anything that you had to cut for the sake of time on Sunday?
Oh, well, yes and no. I don't remember. So I didn't, you know, sometimes you get up and you talk about kind of, oh, I had a really hard time with this, or here's what happened. It just didn't sort of fit in with the feel of the service and the message. But I've been having laptop problems, and then I was working on my wife's laptop at home, and I thought I was loading things up to the cloud, and then somewhere between our house and the cloud, it kind of disappeared on Sunday morning. And so I came in frantically, like at 7:30 on Sunday morning, to try and rebuild a sermon. So I don't know. Yeah, right. I was literally like freaking out trying to remember what this had been and how it fit together, and pulling it together, like at the re-pulling it together at the last minute on Sunday morning. So I probably did leave some stuff out. The one thing that, you know, we talked a little bit about in verse 21, when we said this movement to trusting God for our life, that it feels like we're in the middle of loss and lament and sorrow, that our whole life is just focused on what we've lost. And that this great insight from a therapist who said it's not the case that our grief actually diminishes over time, but our life actually grows larger around it. And God himself, of course, is the source of our life. So the more that we see God in that story, the larger our life will grow. And in verse 21, when they're calling out, "Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored," I think that's their recognition that God is our life. And he, when we have him, we have enough. But they go on to say, "Renew our days as of old." And one way we could certainly read that is they're saying like, oh yeah, restore our homes, restore our fortunes, you know, put us back in the land and make everything good like it was before. But I don't think that's necessarily the way we should read it. When they're saying renew our days as of old, I think they're meaning to communicate, renew us like you have done in the past and be our life as you have been in the past. There's no way, I mean, they can't literally be praying like restore our lost loved ones. I mean, they're gone and they're not going to be renewed or restored as far as they know. And I think the prayer there in terms of renew our days as of old is not, oh, take us back to the way it was in the, the good times before. I think it's really saying, we need you to renew us, God, to make us the people that we know we ought to be with you and to find our life in you, just like you restored us in generations past, just like all the stories of renewing and restoring and saving and delivering your people in the past. Would you do that work again, God? And I don't think they're necessarily looking for that to mean a literal restoration of all the material things they've lost, because what they're actually saying is, restore us to yourself, O Lord, and we will be restored. And I think that's a beautiful thing to remember when we're looking at losses and laments and griefs and sorrows and troubles in our lives, especially the loss of loved ones. Of course, in Christ, we have the hope that we will, the promise that we will see them again, but we're not really praying that God would restore what it used to look like. Or, someone said, if we really love our loved ones who have died, we don't want them to come back here and be with us because they're in so much a better place. And they wouldn't want, as much as they would love us, they wouldn't want to come back here. They're in heaven. They're at peace. They're at rest. There's no more sin, no more sorrow, no more suffering. In the presence of Jesus, like, why would I want someone to leave the presence of Jesus to come back here? So restoring us to yourself is a good reminder for us in our griefs and losses and laments that we can maybe sometimes get stuck in the longing for what we had that's been lost, or longing for what should have been that isn't the way it is. And instead, the reminder and the encouragement here is that if we are with the Lord, if we have Him, we really do have life and restoration, even in the middle of all the pain and the sorrow and the grief. And I find that so encouraging in some of my own griefs and losses, and for the rest of us too. It's helpful, I think.
So Jeff, like I said, this is the end of our study of the Book of Lamentations because there's no chapter six. So this is the end, and yet I wish there was like an epilogue of some sort. Like years, hundreds of years later, we get an after, after this much time has passed. So yeah, like I don't know, just I do wish there was like a little bit of closure. Now, obviously, like we have some historical closure that we have some knowledge of and how what has happened since the writing of like in the practice of reading this poem. But like, I don't know, just can you give me an epilogue? Can you give us an epilogue? Can you give us a little closure? Or are you purposely gonna like withhold that from us?
Well, I mean, I obviously that's natural. I think that's us, right? Like, we want to know how, not just out of curiosity, how the story comes out, but we want to know that there's, a happy ending, that God does something with this, right? And that's the Book of Job, for example, right? Like, we get these bookends on either side. Like, we get to see into heaven and sort of the behind the scenes of how all this suffering came into Job's life, and then we get the epilogue of God restored him and made him even, richer and more established and blessed than he was before. And I think that's, we were chatting a little bit offline. I think that's just us as Americans too, right? Like, we want movies to have a happy ending. Like, you get to the end of a tragic story and sometimes you're like, why did I bother reading this? This is horrible. And yet, if you think about it, there's actually a lot of books of the Bible that are like that. I mean, the Book of Judges starts out well in a sense with these different people that God raises up, but there's just this pattern of, and then a generation rose up that didn't know the Lord, and it keeps going down and down and down and down. And the last couple of chapters of the book of Judges are the bleakest, most depressing chapters of the book, and it just ends there. right? And this Book of Lamentations just ends with this prayer to be restored. And I think there's it's I think it's maybe good for us to sit with that and just acknowledge the there's a good part of that wanting to tie a nice bow on it, right? Because we aren't made to live unsettled and unsatisfied. We're made to find our satisfaction in God and His justice and His renewal of all things, right? But there's also, it's good for us to just acknowledge the unfinished nature of that, because even for us living on this side of the cross and this side of Easter, and Jesus having come and brought the first taste of the kingdom of God on earth, we don't experience it in its fullness now. And living with that tension is, I mean, that's us, right? We have to live in that tension of already, but not yet, and seeing enough of God's goodness and enough of His blessing and His power and His presence to be confident, but to also know the story's not over yet. And it's not going to be resolved until Jesus comes back and He establishes His kingdom in its fullness. And so there's a part of it that, yeah, I mean, we don't get the ending to Lamentations from the writer of Lamentations. We
Right.
get more of the ending from Jesus and from His apostles and in the New Testament. And yet that story's not finished yet. But we also get the forward look from John in Revelation, right? Like, we do know the end of this story. We do know how it's going to turn out. And that whole book of Revelation is written to encourage and remind us of who Jesus is, what He's done, and what He's going to do, and the unshakable hope that we have in this world that, as John pictures it, you know, can just be a horrible beast that is violent and brutal and opposed to God and His work. And yet, God is reigning in heaven, and the Lamb is at His side, and the saints of God are before the throne, and they're not worried a bit because they're living the reality that we're all heading towards. And that's meant to be a reminder and a hope and an encouragement for us to not lose heart and to keep trusting that there is an end to the story, and it is an even better end than we can even imagine. And that's the hope that we keep walking forward in. And along the way, we also do get signs and reminders of God's presence and God's power and His blessing and reassurances of His control and the good that He's doing in the middle of all the mess and the brokenness and the unresolved reality of this life that we live here by faith. So yeah, I mean, sure, I'm with you. I would love it if maybe there was like the epilogue that was like, and God restored them to the land. And they, you know, we get some of that in Ezra and Nehemiah, and you know, we get some of that in the later prophets, and yet that doesn't solve the problem. And even Jesus coming and dying on the cross to save us from our sins, to bring us into His kingdom, to pour His spirit out into us, that is so awesome. And yet that doesn't even ultimately solve the tension that we live in. And yeah, so it's sort of a maybe a non-answer to because the question's not totally answered yet, right? Like, it's unresolved, and God knows that and walks with us in that frustration to encourage us and help us keep moving forward. And not just hoping for that future, but also living in the way of Jesus in this world to bring more of that kingdom to reality around us, which is kind of awesome if you think about it, right? Like, we actually get to be here to be a part of God bringing the reality of His presence and His kingdom into the lives of other people and into this world around us. And just, when you think of it that way, you're like, oh yeah, I mean, of course I long for heaven, but wow, how awesome is it that it's hard and it's messy and it's broken and it's frustrating here, and yet we have the Spirit and we have God's word and we have the community of God's people, And we get to bring more people into that kingdom of life and joy and love, and introduce them to Jesus, which is, oh man, there's nothing better, right? Like, yeah, so it's a good tension that we live in. And I think, stepping back from limitations and looking across this whole series and putting it in the context, of course, of who Jesus is and what he's come to do helps us see that and live with hope in the tension.
Well, we've got this Good Friday and this Easter service that we're really looking forward to. When you guys are preaching on Easter or on Good Friday, are you using text from Lamentations? Or are we kind of stepping out of Lamentations a little bit?
Yeah, no, we actually will come back to Lamentations. Obviously Lamentations doesn't carry the whole story, but that picture that we started with of look on my sorrow and see if anyone has suffered like I have. Well, that's Good Friday, and we're gonna dig into that a little. And then that beautiful hope and promise in the middle of chapter three, because of the Lord's great mercy, we are not consumed. Great is your faithfulness. His love endures forever. And how Jesus is the fulfillment of that beautiful picture. So yeah, we're actually going to get to, in a sense, put the nice little bow on Lamentations by looking ahead to Jesus.
And what if we get through the series and people feel like there are maybe some things that still feel unresolved in their hearts or in their spirits, just like kind of how this book feels a little bit. We've done the hard work of like allowing it, like acknowledging it, and realizing what's in our heart, our longings, our griefs, and our laments, and then yet there's not that nice closure. It might not come. It probably won't come at the end. The end is not the end of the series. It's going to continue. And so, like, what would you encourage someone to do if they feel that personal feeling of unresolved in their heart?
That's a great question. Thanks for asking. We would love to hear about that and connect with anyone that feels like I'm just carrying stuff that maybe I don't know what to do with, or like we said on Sunday, sometimes if we don't deal with it, it sort of leaks out sideways towards the people that are closest to us in ways that maybe we can't even connect that to the sorrow and the grief that we're carrying. Or maybe it's just now surfacing some stuff that hasn't been dealt with. The easiest way to get in touch with the pastoral care team is just care at faithchurchindy.com. Of course, you can always email any of us individually, and that doesn't mean it could be pastoral counseling. It could be connecting with a Stephen minister. We have a great group of people that have gone through some really significant training to be able to walk through any kind of difficulty, sorrow, loss, trouble, trials with people. Not to fix them, because only Jesus is the one that heals us, but to be a caregiver, to listen, to empathize, to counsel. So Stephen Ministry is a great way to get in touch, and you can get connected there through care at faithchurchindy.com as well. It can be pastoral counseling. It can be reaching out to your elder shepherd. If you're a member here at Faith, you're part of an elder, you have an elder that's overseeing and providing care, and they would love to know what's going on in your life. Yeah, and if it's something that's really significant and you need help from a professional counselor to unpack that, we can help get you connected with any of a number of really thoughtful, caring biblical counselors here in Indianapolis. We're really blessed to have a lot of resources to draw on in that way.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. We're looking forward to Easter services. And I know everyone's probably feeling like they've heard it enough, but just in case we catch one more person and remind them, our service times have changed.
Yes.
So our traditional service is at 8 a.m. Our contemporary service is at 10:30. And Yeah, and just spread the word. Make sure that your friends know. Make sure, like you've coordinated with your family and other people that you've invited, and just be sure we're certain about the times. We would really hate to miss anybody.
Yeah, we hope you all can make it. Look forward to seeing you on Good Friday at 7 o'clock. Forward to worshiping together.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Cut for Time. If you wish to submit questions to our pastors following their sermon, you can email them to podcast@faithliveitout.org or text them into our Faith Church texting number, and we'll do our best to cover it in the week's episode. If this conversation blessed you in any way, we encourage you to share it with others. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week.